Today is June 30th, 2007, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
So today we're going to break from our regular format because a little thing happened on Friday night called the iPhone launch. So today Brian and I are going to be diving deep into our experiences with the iPhone, with the whole launch event, and everything that surrounds it.
Indeed. So bear with us a little bit because we're going to be riffing to a certain extent as we talk about the various things that have happened because it's been, quite frankly, a very busy 2 days.
You know, I'm going to start by saying it's been a busy 2 days is a monumental understatement.
Fair enough. And it's been a busy week. But much of the time that we would have spent in prepping a script and doing other things like that have been superseded by the specific events of the last 2 days.
Yes, they have. And if this whole last week has been for you like it has been for me, I'm looking forward to having everything wrapped up and taking a Saturday afternoon nap.
Yes, that sounds like a good idea.
Yes.
In the meanwhile, I was able to attend the San Francisco iPhone event, and Jeff was able to attend the 29th Street Boulder Store event. Is that correct?
That is correct.
29th Street. And we're going to be talking about the specific events that were going on there. And why don't we start with the Boulder Store? Because, you know, after all, you're in the Mountain Time Zone.
That's true. So I am before you in that respect. All right. The Boulder Store, it was really neat how the whole thing played out. People were lining up at 10 o'clock the night before, and then there was quite a long line. There was at least 200 people in line for the opening on Friday. And it turned into this whole community event. The other stores at the mall, this is an outdoor mall. So everyone was out in the sun. And for people that aren't from Colorado, it's important to remember that a lot of times there won't be clouds. So it's just bright sun the whole time. So shops were bringing out umbrellas for people to give them shade. Some other shops were bringing by drinks. They were getting snacks. And everyone was getting involved in the whole event. And they did a big pep talk rally thing right before the doors opened at 6 o'clock. And it was just a great thing to watch. I mean, everyone was so excited, and the thing went so smooth. It was truly like clockwork, being able to get people in and out of the store quickly and politely. And since there's these nice planters outside the store, people were sitting down there with their laptops, activating their phones, and within, say, 10 minutes of the store opening, people were already talking on their brand new shiny iPhones.
Well, that's absolutely fantastic.
Yes. So now, from what I understand, there was a lot more people at the San Francisco store.
Well, you know, I just checked while you were talking about the Boulder store event. I saw that the Reuters said that there were 100 people lined up outside the San Francisco store. And, well, the reporter wasn't doing their homework because the line went down Stockton, up the next street, and I forget what that street's called, and then all the way down the next street too, and that was about 50 minutes before the event actually started. So I think that there were closer to 700-800 people lining up, and not just 100 that they apparently didn't walk around the block to see.
That's a bit of a difference.
And I could be wrong. I'm no good at crowd estimates, so it could have been closer to 500. And as a matter of fact, I think I saw an estimate of 500 yesterday. But again, I think it was at least 700 or 800 people. It was a lot of folks waiting. There were 60, 70 media people alone. And if you've been to the San Francisco store,
yes,
which probably most of our readers or listeners haven't been to. It's not really set up for this kind of event. So Apple didn't really quite have a place for us to stand as media. So we were basically all sort of crowded on one side of the door so that customers could come in to the door, and trying to take pictures meant that you had to get your camera above everyone else's arms that were stuck up. And it was a crowd of people. And of course, you know, in the meanwhile, people that work and live in San Francisco are trying to get by. So it was quite the spectacle.
Yes. Now, at the Boulder store, they actually let media inside. We were allowed in small groups.
Well, media was allowed in small groups as well. They let customers in first. They wanted to make a point of allowing the people that had been waiting there for, you know, hours and hours and hours to get in first. But
that's
once
totally
the customers started going in, then they started allowing media come in too. They started allowing the media to go in as well.
Now, I'm assuming the San Francisco store, much like the Boulder store, they probably had stanchions set up to route the iPhone customers down where they needed them to go, and then the other part of the store was more or less open.
Yes, actually, that's correct. Of course, the San Francisco store has two floors.
And the big staircase right in the middle.
And the big staircase right in the middle, that's right. And the whole event, actually, I think they were routing customers upstairs for purchases as well. So the interesting thing is that there were people that had been there for, you know, a good 12, 14 hours, maybe even longer. And the reality is that everyone had phones within an hour. I mean, the first person was in the door and out the door in 5 minutes with their phone. So Apple was able to go through this line really, really fast. And because they seem to have plenty of product on hand, that means that if you were there just to get your iPhone, you kind of wasted some time. But you had some thoughts on the event as an event, Jeff, so why don't you share that?
Sure. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. For people that went and stood in line simply to stand in line to make sure they got an iPhone, they didn't have to. But the line as the event itself, as part of this whole event, I saw it as an important piece of the whole thing. And especially at the Boulder store, it was part of a community thing. And so there was the whole thing that goes along with we're all together for the same thing and not just we're standing in line for a phone.
Well, that's absolutely the case. I mean, I know that Leander Cani and his wife were there with their son Lyle, and they had made an iPhone costume for their little boy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And then there were people that were there that had this portable dance stage that they brought with them, and they were dressed up in very colorful costumes and were, you know, every 10 minutes would basically do a dancing show as they were waiting to buy their iPhone.
That's great.
You know, of course, this is San Francisco, so you've got a lot of folks who are just, you know, a walking, talking spectacle any day of the week, whether or not there's going to be an iPhone that's going on sale for the first time.
Yes. Well, yeah, there is that. It is San Francisco. And Boulder sometimes is looked on as a San Francisco in the mountains. However, I think that the spectacle part was far more prominent where you were than where I am.
That may actually be the case. In the meanwhile, it seems like Apple really had its ducks in a row set up for the event. You know, the employees were ready to go. They actually made a big deal about that. At the San Francisco store, the employees actually went out some kind of a side entrance and then basically marched in about 10 minutes before the doors were going to open, you know, clapping and cheering. And as they lined up on the staircase and lined up throughout the store to welcome all the people that were coming in line, they actually started a countdown at 25 seconds with, you know, all the employees inside the store counting down to, you know, 25, 24, 23, et cetera. And when it hit 6 o'clock, I might add, exactly when my AT&T phone switched over to 6 o'clock, they let everybody in.
You know, I noticed that the whole thing for the 6 o'clock launch went very much like a store grand opening, which includes the people coming out a side door, you know, the staff coming out the side doors and doing their clapping and marching and shouting as they come back to the main entrance. At the Boulder store, it included the manager giving a little pre-launch speech, just like I've seen at every grand opening I've been to. And yeah, then there's the countdown. Everyone goes in and there's the cheering and screaming. And it was like a grand opening event again.
Yep. And Apple Apple has done a very nice job of co-opting the fact that the Apple customer base, community, you know, I don't know how you want to refer to us in this particular capacity, but in co-opting the fact that we have made it an event. So rather than trying to ignore it, which is quite frankly what I would expect from Apple simply because they can't control it, they've co-opted it. They've brought it into it. They make the employees, you know, I mean, you know, think about it. The notion of store employees clapping and cheering as customers are walking in the door doesn't happen anywhere else. And it's not really all that particularly natural, at least not in the United States.
Right.
So this is, you know, it's I think that Apple has just done a terrific job of making these kinds of events into real community events and letting people, helping people even feel like they're actually being a part of something. And of course, you know, it's great PR for the company. But again, because it's not something that's entirely under control, it's not the kind of move I would have expected of Apple if you'd asked me before the Apple Store was actually launched.
Sure. And yeah, and they have done a fantastic job of making everyone feel a part of a community when they do a store launch or roll out the iPhone. Now, in comparison, I went to the AT&T store at the other end of the 29th Street Mall, and it was a completely different experience. You wouldn't have thought it was for the same product, even.
Well, do tell. You know, our listeners could probably realize I've already heard some of these details, and I think the story is just fascinating. So tell us about it.
All right. So keep in mind Apple Store, there's cheering and clapping and employees congratulating customers on having their new iPhone. Then I go over to the AT&T store, and there's about 40 people in line in this very tightly wound stanchion thing. And I'm not seeing smiles. It's just these people standing in line like they're...
Nine!
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm cutting ahead to the punchline.
So, yes, you are. So, they have a door guard, and not just a door guard, dare I say, a door Nazi. And this person is at the door, and as one customer leaves the store, she will open the door and let them out. And then she points to the next person, tells them to come in, and then closes the door. And that's it.
And if someone would try to actually go in when it wasn't their turn, she would scream, "Nine!"
Yeah. No iPhone for you. And that's what it felt like. And so another employee came out when it was time to let everyone know that they were almost out of 8 gigabyte models. And so he asks everyone, how many want the 8 gigabyte model? And almost everyone in line raises their hand. Oops. So they weren't going to have enough for everyone, but that's okay. The Apple store wasn't very far away. So,
well, you know, Apple has a long history of shafting its retail partners in this area. I mean, you know, not to pick on Apple too much, but they've been notorious for not giving the quantity of merchandise that some of the third party Apple stores have needed, and in some cases not giving any quantity, even while the Apple stores have plenty of it. So we perhaps shouldn't be too surprised by that. On the other hand, of course, this could have been something that AT&T wanted. Maybe AT&T didn't feel like they were going to sell that many to begin with and didn't want to actually take responsibility for all that inventory. We honestly don't know,
right?
But we've seen it before.
Yes. So it could have been either one. We just don't know. And one of the things that made the whole AT&T experience a bit more melancholy for me was that while I'm standing outside and I'm seeing this 180-degree difference from what I saw mere moments before at the Apple store, is that I know some of the people in that store. And they have really good employees that are really helpful, really nice people. But everyone waiting in line has to go through this very cold, impersonal DMV-style experience. And for everyone outside the United States, DMV is Department of Motor Vehicles. And it's a slow, painful process while you wait in line for hours that you don't have just to get a really bad driver's license picture.
This is very true. Now, you know, there was an AT&T store not too far from the Apple store in San Francisco, and I actually saw it first as I was walking up to the Apple store, and there were about 70, 80 people in line. And when I walked back about 3 hours later, I'm not sure that the line had moved, although I I have no specific evidence to that effect. However, there was an AT&T manager outside explaining to people that they were out of the 8 gig models. So, I mean, clearly there is a different culture going on between the AT&T stores and the Apple stores. And I think Apple definitely did it right.
I agree. And, you know, I think you hit on something important, which is the culture thing. And we are dealing with two very distinct cultures here that are clashing in a good way. They're clashing because the iPhone is the product, but we have the computer Macintosh end of that community where we know what to expect from an Apple store. I mean, they've created this personal experience. When you look at the cell phone industry, that part of the community, the way that has worked for quite a while now is not nearly as personal as what you're getting at the Apple store.
And one might even say painful.
Yes. And, you know, to be fair, I have been into cell phone stores. Like the very first cell phone I ever bought, it was a really pleasant experience because I found the right store with the people that really got it and got what I needed. And they were able to help me get the right thing, and it was a pleasant experience. But I've been in cell phone stores other times where I've thought, you know, why don't I just go to the dentist and ask him to yank a tooth out? Because it's probably going to be more pleasant than what I'm going through now.
Well, you know, my experiences at cell phone stores have depended entirely upon the quality of the particular employee that I was dealing with. For instance, yes. There's a young man that works at the AT&T store near to me. That guy is fantastic. He's just fantastic. He knows what he's doing. He knows the products. He knows how their system works. He can answer all my questions. He's honest with me. He's just – I actually look forward to interacting with him. And that's just not usually the case. And I think that you've got – You've got stores where you've got bad management and employees that can overcome that, and then you've got stores with bad management where the employees can't overcome that, and then you've got the very rare store where you have good management and good employees both. So it's kind of a hit and miss thing, whereas, again, as you said before, Apple has paid particular attention to that entire equation.
Oh, sure. And you're right on the whole thing about the employee experience. I mean, if I were to go into the AT&T store in Boulder, the first thing I'd do as I would walk in the door would be to ask if Matt was there, because he's the guy that I know at that store that knows everything, and he's really nice and great to work with. And you're right, it's about the employees. But once you move out of that whole community thing and move over to what Apple's doing, man, it's like night and day.
Well, you know, another night and day thing is simply the entire process of buying this phone. Apple had the first person went into the Apple store and was out again in 5 minutes, although he might have been the second or third person in line. But basically the first person came out of the door holding his iPhone going, yay, and, you know, cheering, and the audience was cheering, and the employees were cheering. 5 minutes. So in at 6 o'clock. Out at 6:05 with their phone. You go into a typical cell phone store from any of the carriers, and, you know, as you mentioned, it's, you know, more like pulling teeth, and you know, it's probably going to take you 30 minutes to an hour, assuming you don't have to wait in line.
Right. Now, one thing that makes this experience completely different is the fact that it really is completely different. And what I'm talking about is the activation process.
Absolutely.
You buy the phone and you leave the store, then go activate it. When you buy any other cell phone, you have to go through the activation while you're in the store. And that's part of that whole painful, long, drawn-out process.
Well, it is in a number of different ways, too, because and there's a good side and a bad side to that, because as we saw starting last night, there were some activation problems that were already being reported on the internet, people complaining in Apple's forums. A couple of different news articles have been posted about this. So we had some comments in our article about the launch event where, you know, woman was basically in tears because she'd been waiting for this phone for so long. And that's actually the downside, because you're not interfacing with someone who can overcome whatever hurdles are being presented.
Right.
You know, when you go to an AT&T store, when you go to a Sprint, Verizon, whatever store, that person's basically not going to let you go until they've got everything taken care of.
And
so go ahead.
There is something to be said about having that long drawn out process where you are there in the store, because if something does go wrong, there's someone right there that can figure out what to do to fix it, so that when you leave the store, you have a cell phone that works and you can call your friends and everything's fine. When you walk out of the Apple store or an AT&T store with an iPhone, you have a brick. And until you get through the activation process, which for most people is going really smooth.
Yes.
It's still
it went
brick.
Very smooth for me, I might add. My entire process took 5 minutes, maybe 6 minutes, and that was including the fact that I was entering some information wrong on my end. So it was very, very smooth for me. It's very, very smooth for the vast majority of people.
You know, the only person that I saw when I was at the Boulder store that had a problem with activation was an existing AT&T customer, and they had one bit of information wrong. It was like a wrong zip code or something. And once they figured out that's what the problem was, then it was a 5-minute process. Everything was transferred over from their old phone, and they were in business. That was the only problem that I saw.
That makes sense. Now, I might add that if there were folks that were activating their phones from laptops outside the San Francisco store, it was down the street at a coffee shop or something, because just, you know, at least for that initial hour, it was just wall-to-wall people. So I didn't see the same sort of thing that you saw.
Sure. And outside the San Francisco Apple store, for people that haven't been there before, there's not an easy place to whip out your laptop, plug in your brand new $600 iPhone, and juggle all this stuff and do the activation. At the Boulder store, you can step outside the store, and since the shops are several steps lower than the sidewalk, you have these really nice planters that everyone can sit on, and that's exactly what was happening.
Sure, then that makes a lot of sense. So it's, you know, Apple, there's been a lot of talk about the iPhone itself being revolutionary, and a sentiment that I happen to agree with. But in many ways, this purchase experience is somewhat revolutionary. I mean, there's been a few kinks with people who have had issues either with AT&T or maybe with getting their phone number transferred from another network and those kinds of things. But for the vast majority of folks, this has been a very pleasant experience.
That's what I've been seeing too. And I will add that I'm actually surprised, because I was expecting, with the volume of people going through the Apple and AT&T stores on Friday night, that we would see a lot of issues where the network just was unresponsive because so many people were activating their phones at once that they couldn't get it done. And I didn't see any of that.
I think, Jeff, that's the big difference between the fact that most of this was completely automated on the back end side, and we didn't have to have humans doing the interfacing. So that really removed a lot of the bottlenecks. As long as the servers could handle the connections and as long as they had enough bandwidth, you know, we weren't going to be running into, waits of that nature.
Sure. And actually, I was expecting bandwidth-related issues or server overloads. And that doesn't seem to have been the case at all.
Well, you know, you got to think about it. Even if Apple sold 1 million phones, which I don't think that was the case, but even if they sold 1 million phones that first day, it's very, very doubtful that their back end couldn't handle the even 100,000 at a time kinds of connections that might actually be taking place.
Sure. And of course, before all of this happened, we had no idea what type of infrastructure was really in place. And my fear was that iTunes was acting as nothing more than a front end for an AT&T server to process all this data, and that AT&T wasn't going to actually get it and understand, and that they wouldn't actually have the hardware in place to handle what was going on.
Sure enough, and it looks like they did. So I think that's a really good thing. And what, you know, was started off in this conversation was talking about the fact that the user experience has effectively been revolutionized, and you know that may be the biggest impact that the iPhone has to offer when everything is said and done. Who knows?
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to wait and see what goes on with all that.
Indeed. You know, let's talk about another thing, which is the notion of all the people that were camping out to buy phones to resell them.
And yes.
I mock you people.
You know, I think everyone that decided to try and hoard them so they could sell them, they're not going to recoup that investment the way they thought they would.
No, as a matter of fact, they're going to lose money on it. Now, that's different, of course, for people that were basically being paid to be in line for someone else. It's, you know, entirely – they're basically providing a service. Of course, those people basically could have walked in 2 hours after the event, stood in line for maybe 5-10 minutes and gotten one themselves. But, you know, we didn't really know that. And there was, of course, you know, Apple in their usual secrecy was not letting us know that they did, in fact, have plenty of inventory on hand.
Right. And, well, I mean, there you go, Apple secrecy. But after the fact, we all know, I'm sure for some of those people, paying someone to stand in line, it was a gamble. And even still, it might have been worth it for them because they didn't have to stand in line.
Yeah, absolutely. Time is money. And, you know, for a lot of people, their time might actually be worth $400 or $500 an hour.
Sure. I noticed at the Boulder store, almost everyone was walking out with two iPhones. So I have to wonder how many people were buying one for themselves and a friend or spouse, significant other, whatever, and how many people were buying them so that, or a second one, so that they could try and turn around and resell it.
You know, I don't really think that there was a big percentage of people that were buying them to resell them. Those people did get a lot of attention because they tended to be towards the front of lines. I heard a marketplace story on Friday from some guy who had visions of eBaying his for $500 or $600 profit apiece, and I heard an NPR story to the same effect from another store. And I think there probably end up being the exception rather than the rule. I think that most of the people that were getting two phones were definitely getting them for a spouse or a friend or a workmate or their boss or, you know, something to that effect.
Sure. Now, another thing I noticed along with this whole selling thing, I talked with someone that placed an order online. And they were told that it's going to be a couple weeks before they get their iPhone, which really surprised me. I would have assumed that Apple would have had a large inventory sitting in a warehouse ready to send out for the mail orders as well. Apparently not.
Well, you know, you would think that. Of course, that said, I was really surprised that Apple waited until they did to put them on phone, to put them on the online store to begin with. So maybe there was... Maybe they basically so what I'm trying to say is that it appears as if Apple may well have been paying more attention to the direct in-person stores sales across the country than they were to their online business.
That's possible. Now, I'm also wondering if they were kind of hedging their bets. Okay, you know, in Star Trek, Mr. Scott always overestimates how long it's going to take to fix the warp drive, so he looks like a miracle worker. I wonder if there's a possibility that Apple is overestimating how long it's going to take for iPhones to ship from the online orders, and people will get them earlier than they said.
Well, you know, I'd be a little bit surprised if that was the case, simply because Apple has gotten so good at this management aspect of their business. I mean, they're really amongst the best of all the consumer electronic manufacturers. So, I mean, I'd be surprised, but it certainly is possible.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. And if iPhones start showing up in the mailboxes in the next few days, there you go.
We will find out.
We'll find out it within a couple of weeks for sure.
Within a couple of weeks for sure. Now, one thing that I think bears mentioning, Jeff, you had an interesting thought that we were discussing before the show about the fact that Apple has, you know, appears to have thought this one out really well.
Yeah, well, it does look that way to me. I mean, from beginning to end, this whole process, letting people know when the iPhone's going to be available, having all of this lead time, they may very well have been able to take advantage of that to make sure that they had the inventories that they needed to keep the stores properly stocked.
Well, you know, indeed, that's the case. I think that, you know, Apple normally, their normal timeline is to secretly work on a product, get it ready to go, start the manufacturing process in advance, announce a release time that's either, you know, immediate or, you know, coming up as soon as they can, depending on basically, you know, if Macworld is forcing the announcement to come earlier than they would have otherwise, that sort of thing. But in this particular case, they basically had to have the product ready, submit it to the FCC, and then they had 6 months that they had to wait. So that basically gave them plenty of time to have all their ducks in a row for the release date. I mean, this is basically what you were just saying. And,
right.
It's interesting to see the effect that it's had.
What I think it did was allow Apple to create a very well-oiled machine for producing and distributing the iPhone. And we saw the effect of that last night at 6 o'clock when people were able to go in and 5 minutes later walk out with an iPhone and 5 minutes later have it dialing their friends.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And to that, I say huzzah. Now, another note, both Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak made appearances at Apple stores to sort of help kick off the event. Steve Jobs was at the Palo Alto store. I think that there's a store. Now, we'll have links. First of all, we're going to have coverage, more specific coverage of our store experiences that we'll post as news articles at iPodObserver.com. And that'll include links to things like the photograph that I am scrolling through, which is why I'm talking like this, of Steve Jobs talking to a customer. That's a looks like that's a Reuters story or Mercury News. That's a Mercury News story. And then Steve Wozniak was at the Westfield Valley Fair store.
And, of course, we'll have links to our stories in the show notes.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we will. And so I think it's kind of cool. As I understand it, Steve Wozniak was basically given the honorary first customer spot, despite the fact that he, of course, was going to be given an iPhone from a customer. He was there because he wanted to be part of the community, part of the event, and I think that's pretty cool.
See, there you go. I was saying it's a whole community thing, and Woz got that too.
Did seem to get that too. Now, I wasn't at that one, of course. I was at the San Francisco event, despite the fact that that's the closest store to me. And as I understand it, everyone had a good time, and I think the Woz is usually a fun party guest.
I would assume he is. Yeah. Now,
Do we have anything left to talk about besides the iPhone?
That's actually right where I was going to segue. And a thinly veiled reference to Woz's mode of transportation, too.
The Segway, yes, he was shooting around on a Segway, which I think is way too cool.
Yeah, that's so Woz. So, Brian, you actually have an iPhone, and I was able to play with one. I don't have one yet. So I'll start with my brief experience, and then you can share your more in-depth experience because you've had one for several hours now. So after the first 10 minutes of playing with the one that I was messing around with, I was so impressed with the screen. It was beautiful. It didn't smear like I thought it would when I was rubbing my hands across it. It was easy to read. I was really impressed with that. The navigation was easy for me to pick up on, and it felt very intuitive. The places where I had trouble relate to me being left-handed and being insanely dominantly left-handed. So some things that other left-handed people go, I don't get it, just do it with the other hand. It doesn't work for me. I'm kind of brain dead in that way. So I had a problem with alphabet in the address book list being on the right, and my hand would actually block the screen as I reached across to tap the letters. So I'd like to see an option to move that alphabet to the left side so that lefties like me will be able to use it more easily. I also would like to see a week view added to the calendar simply because I enjoy using a week view on my palm already. And the lack of a to-do list, that struck me as kind of odd.
Yeah, it is very surprising not to have a to-do list. And if it's here, I haven't found it yet. And by no means is my search exhaustive. As a matter of fact, I probably am only, you know, 20% set up on this thing in terms of its overall capabilities. But you would think that there would be a to-do list. And I am also surprised about the lack of the left-handed option. It seemed like it would be an easy setting. Hopefully that will be coming. We'll, of course, do at least an editorial on this subject so that we can get that opinion out there.
Sure. And in fairness, everything else that I did left-handed worked just fine. And I really liked that it didn't matter which direction you rotated the iPhone for the horizontal view. Mm-hmm. It figured it out, and it just worked. That was really cool.
The I have to say that this thing is freaking cool. It is gorgeous. I'm delighted with the fact that the back is not that horrid fingerprint magnet shiny stuff that that you get on the back of the iPods. Although that said, I am very, very glad, very, very glad that there is that it comes with a cloth to wipe the surface of the display, because mine has been smearing left and right. Maybe I'm just greasier than you are.
Well, maybe it has to do with humidity, because the air is very dry here in Colorado. But the humidity, of course, is higher in San Francisco and the whole Bay Area because you're on the ocean.
True. It could be, that definitely could be it. But fortunately, it does come with a cloth that you can use to clean it. Of course, that means you'd have to carry it if you want to keep it clean at all times. But be that as it may, it's the form factor on this thing is just fantastic. It's both in weird ways smaller and larger than I was expecting it. You know, it definitely fits in my hand a lot better than I was expecting it to, yet the display feels at least as big, if not bigger, than I was expecting it to feel. The navigation, as Jeff said, is just absolutely fantastic. Everything is incredibly intuitive. For instance, I have a nice piece of spam here from my mail account that I didn't even realize had already been synced up by iTunes, and you know, it's real easy for me to throw that away just because I can. And there are lots of things when moving around in the iPhone, there were lots of things that I didn't particularly realize ahead of time how to do, and I just did them the way I thought they should work, and sure enough, they work. You know, and that's the big thing with the iPhone. It's throughout the week, I talked to several mainstream reporters who were looking for that, Apple Watcher perspective, that Mac Observer perspective, and they all seemed to want to know why it is that people were so nuts about this thing. And it's because, you know, when we hadn't even seen it yet, and it's because we've all been wanting a phone that just worked. We've all been wanting a device that we can carry our digital lives around with us that just works. And sure enough, it really seems like Apple has come through with that.
I think so. Now, the keyboard itself, when I started playing with that, I really wanted to get my hands on it because there's so many pundits out there that have been saying the iPhone will fail because it doesn't have a real keyboard. Now, I have never owned a smartphone of Trail, BlackBerry, whatever, because, well, I didn't like the interface, I didn't like the web browsing, and I didn't like the keyboards. So, three strikes, they're out. I started playing with the keyboard on the iPhone, and within 2 minutes, I was fairly proficiently one finger typing, and I could see that the Apple's statement said it takes about a week to totally get it down and thumb type. I believe it. I think that if I sat there and really played with it for half an hour, I would have been a proficient typer. And There's no real keyboard, and I was totally fine with that. It worked just fine for me.
Yeah, it's been working just fine for me so far. I'm hoping that I do become a little bit more accurate, but I think that the controls they've given you for inserting the cursor are just, you know, fantastic. You know, one interesting thing that Jeff and I were discussing before we started recording is the fact that when you're doing a URL, there doesn't seem to be any way to put an underscore in. And I know when it comes to logging into a lot of websites, I'll use an underscore. And so that's going to be kind of interesting. And I'm flabbergasted that it's not there. Maybe I just haven't seen it yet.
Well, hopefully it is there. And if not, this is another place where the iPhone will be able to shine. And that's because everything is software-based and software-upgradable. So that's something that if Apple missed, they can go back and fix it. And if they did miss including that character, hopefully we'll see a fix for that real soon now.
Right. Hopefully indeed we will. And my guess is that we will for all of these things. But you know, I mean, just right out of the box, this is a version 1.0 device, and it's just absolutely terrific. I am delighted with it. And the phone quality sounds great. The selection of ringtones that it comes with, although right now there is no way to add a ringtone, something that I know my wife took issue with. But at the same time, the folks at Gizmodo reported this morning that there are unused ringtone plus icons in iTunes 7.3. So in other words, it's part of the package. It's not being used, but it's clearly there for possible future inclusion.
So maybe they'll add that in and make a lot of people happy.
Indeed. I hope they certainly do. But I was going to say in the first place that the ringtones it comes with are all actually pretty cool. They sound very good, and there's a broad selection, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, that would definitely be a good thing. And
the YouTube browser, easy to use, easy as can be to use, and works quite well. The video quality, as Jeff mentioned, is I think just, you know, fantastic. This display looks just really, really good. The camera resolution is certainly high enough for anything that you're actually going to want to show. It's higher than anything you're going to want to show on the iPhone itself, you know, not for making prints, but you know, certainly for keeping in a digital format. All the applications are easy to use. Settings are easy to use. We're actually going to have a quick tip, by the way, Jeff, I don't think I mentioned this to you, on how to easily set your iPhone up for your own wireless network. The form of protection I use for our airport network requires me to add the airport IDs individually for any computer that's actually allowed onto the network. And the point being that it's actually kind of hard to find the airport ID on the iPhone, but I did find it, and I think it'll make a great quick tip.
I think that will make a great quick tip, and I can't wait to read what you come up with for that.
Now, folks, you can read between the lines and say he can't wait to read what he hasn't had to write.
Yeah. For those of you that don't read the quick tips, pretty much every quick tip that we have Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning comes from me. So
yes, it does.
So it's fun for me, not simply because I don't have to write this one. It's also fun for me because I enjoy reading the tips that other people come up with as well.
Oh, God, you're so good. You're just so good, Jeff. Yeah. All right, so bottom line, this phone is fantastic. I am delighted with it. I think Apple has hit a home run. I think that everything they have said is true, and they said a lot of things.
You know, that's actually saying a lot coming from you, because you are one of the people that I expect to be very critical of a device, and not in a bad way, in a fair and honest way. So, Brian, for you to sit here and just shower the iPhone with this glowing praise, that says a lot to me right there.
Well, you know, I have to agree with that, because I do tend to be what I think is to be fair and balanced in a way that, you know, Fox News wishes it could be. And And I do mean it. Of course, you know, I've only had the thing for what is it, 1 o'clock? So 20 hours, and I've really only used it for a couple of those hours. So it's possible that there's all kinds of things that I haven't figured out or, you know, whatever. But I think that this device is cool. And, you know, when you hold it in your hand, Jeff, when you held it in your hand, how did it feel?
It felt right.
It felt right. How well put. Felt right.
It did. I mean, it balanced. It fit. And when I rotated it horizontally, it still fit and felt right. It really felt like someone actually thought about the design that was going into the product, which I don't get with a lot of the other cell phones that I've played with over the years.
That makes sense.
There you go.
All right. And on that very happy note, this has been the Apple Weekly Report, our iPhone special report.
Yes, it has. And so please, thanks for listening. And for those of you that have noticed once again that Ricky's not here, remember he's still on his summer vacation trip. I believe that this week at summer camp he was mastering the art of s'mores. I can't wait
Excellent.
To see how
was
he
it s'mores makes this week?
Yeah, s'mores. Mmm, yum.
That's good. Well, you know, and he's been doing a good job out at that summer camp, but we can't wait for him to get back.
I'm looking forward to it. Yes. So, okay, so keep in mind, our content is written by the good people at Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom. And as Brian usually says, that's all I've got.
Stay subscribed.
And of course, we'll see you next week.